just you and me forever.
Do you take this woman as your lawful wedded wife?
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
Hello and welcome to With This Ring, episode 55. I'm your co-host Ryan Everett.
I'm Cindy Everett.
And tonight we will continue our trek through 1999. And we finished WrestleMania last time, and so we'll be getting the next season in WWF.
Oh, the next season.
By their calendar, kind of. It goes,
oh yeah,
WrestleMania is the end of
Q1.
The first, you know, the story of the year before, and
oh, okay,
the night after kind of starts.
Watches
new things in
new
in order
lines for the
yes
year,
and we did watch the Raw after WrestleMania.
We did.
The big takeaway is the Undertaker kidnapped Stephanie McMahon,
right?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I'm noticing a theme now.
Yes, it's not the first time. Well, it's the first time. It's not
well, the last time. Yeah.
No. Yes. And she's eventually found by
Ken
Shamrock.
Yes.
As apparently it's good to be rescued by a giant steroid man on,
right,
covered in red blood.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken Shamrock had a lot of odd. What's, they does not know what to do with him?
Yeah, I think he's kind of not a great actor.
No.
But, like, is willing to do whatever they tell him to do. So, I guess he's a good soldier.
Good employee,
and yeah,
good employee.
And that's kind of his role here. He's a good employee and gets the boss's daughter back from the, you know, your demonic co-worker. As one has to do every once in a while, you know.
It happens. Normal day at the office.
And then, so then after that, and earlier in the night, actually, to start the show, Stone Cold came out and said he didn't want the title anymore.
Right.
And then Vince comes out and he's all like, what are you saying? And Austin says that he wants his belt, the Smoking Skull belt, back. And since...
So why does he have his own belts?
Because he's Steve Austin.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, yeah, really, that's pretty much it.
He wanted to make it.
So yeah, because like he was anti-establishment, so
gotcha.
He doesn't want just their logo. He wants his own.
Own touch.
Touch. And since they do make a good point that Raw's in Hartford this night, so it's, and they, Vince had said he was going to put it in his house, so he has someone go to his house and pick it up since they live, you know, Hartford, Greenwich,
right,
pretty close.
Right.
So then at the end of the night, though, Vince leaves with Stephanie to keep her safe, and Shane reveals that he's not going to give the belt to Steve Austin. He gives it to The Rock.
Oh, that's right.
And that starts their feud, and then the corporation attacks, including Triple H and China, who are now part of that group, and Steve Austin ends up having backup in The Big Show, who is now,
yeah,
I mean, he turned face yesterday, but he's, this is like him establishing himself, like, as a good guy for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's like Steve Austin, the corporation, Degeneration X, the ministry.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock running around.
The brood.
The brood.
Is it part of the ministry and then not part of the ministry?
But yeah, now, and the captain, like, goth.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to go. Yeah.
Oh, then we saw The Rock throw Steve Austin off a bridge.
Yeah, so then, so to build off of that, the next week, The Big Show and his good friend Steve Austin now, Austin has The Big Show pull down the Titantron.
Right.
And then Austin cuts it with some sort of pipe or piece of metal hook thing. And that's when they actually switched from the, like, projection screen to an actual video monitor.
Yeah. Probably, well, Big Show ruined it.
They had to. I mean, it cost the McMahons hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, I bet.
And so then the next week, they're in Detroit, and The Rock is at a bridge at the corner of Rudy Poo Avenue and invites Steve Austin to come and try and get his belt back. And he does that, and The Rock ends up hits it with a handy fishing tool.
Pool. Right. Handy fishing pole?
Yes. And is able to get Steve Austin over the bridge and throws a dummy into the river.
Right.
And then throws the belt in. And then, yes, the next week, The Rock is celebrating the death of Steve Austin, including the great line, "Dearly Trailer Park Trash,
yeah,
we are gathered here today." Just a real well-read speech. Steve Austin.
Oh, the Rock. Yeah, the Rock can really perform.
Yes. Yeah. This is definitely them giving him the ball, not just for an interview, but for performance, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And also during the night, they make sure to point out many times that The Rock has a brand new Lincoln Town Car in the parking lot.
Right.
No one's to touch his brand new Lincoln Town Car.
Chekhov's Town Car.
Exactly.
It's in the parking lot now.
And then, of course, Steve Austin arrives in a monster truck, runs over The Rock's brand new Lincoln Continental Town Car that no one is to touch except The Rock.
Right.
So Steve Austin, of course, runs it over.
So Lincoln was like, we'll give you a car. Yeah. You can destroy it.
You can,
We need some promo.
$25,000.
Yeah. There's probably something wrong with it.
Yeah, it was probably a defected one. I mean, because you only see it in the dark.
Right.
The Rock doesn't even arrive in it. He arrives in the hearse, so.
Yeah, there's definitely.
Probably a defective, yeah.
Yeah. Win-win for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And then Steve Austin runs on to the ramp. And this was during the time, I should point out, in like late mid-98 through 2000, if you saw it wasn't the ramp, and it was just a plain, like, straight ramp, not the metal one.
Yeah.
You knew Steve Austin was riding something into the arena. Like the Zamboni, the bear truck, the monster truck, all the times that they have no steel ramp the whole way. Gotcha. It's just a little half ramp. Or half stage.
That's kind of the tip off.
Yeah. So, of course, Steve Austin does arrive with the monster truck, runs over the hearse, and then battles with The Rock, and actually knocks him into the grave that The Rock had set up. But then Shane McMahon comes out with his own breakaway shovel.
Oh, yeah.
And blasts Steve Austin in the back with it, and then holds up the belt since he'll be the referee for our main event.
That's right. But yeah, that thing is like fully shatters.
Oh, yeah. It's probably like breakaway plastic or something. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be hitting a guy with a shovel.
Yeah.
So then we do get to our actual show. It was 25 years ago today. Tomorrow. Yesterday.
What day?
Yesterday.
Okay.
When this comes out. Today, gotcha. When we're recording.
Okay.
Take you behind the scenes. It's in Providence, Rhode Island at the time, the Providence Civic Center. I think best known as the Dunkin' Donuts Arena.
Ah, love it.
I think now it's something
changed to
corporate, unfortunately. But
well, Dunkin' Donuts
it'll always be the Dunkin' Donuts Center to me.
Well, that's also a corporation.
It's true, but, you know, cool.
Eh.
They sell donuts.
I know. That's true.
They must do good franchising opportunities.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not the most evil of the corporations that own stadiums.
True. That's true.
Or that would do business with the WWF in later years.
Right. Fair enough.
So we start off our first match. You want to talk about this at all?
The Brood versus the Ministry. I said I liked Edge, but no flow in that match.
Yeah, it's kind of still
Edge heavy. It's a little awkward.
Yeah, I mean, the Brood are faces, but not really all the way. Yeah, and this had happened because, if you remember, it was Christian who gave up the whereabouts of Stephanie to Ken Shamrock when he had him in the ankle lock.
Oh, yeah.
So then the next week, The Undertaker wanted the Brood, Edge and Gangrel, to crucify Christian.
Obviously.
And he was like, no, we're not going to do that. So they left the Ministry. And,
gotcha.
You know, from just 2 weeks ago, hanging the Big Boss Man
at
WrestleMania, now they're on the outs with each other.
Yeah, it's too, like, they're trying to, like, pick a plot line, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think here is where they kind of figured out to, like, after this match, they kind of go away from the Ministry, so they're not in direct competition with them.
Gotcha.
They kind of go a little different route. But yeah, it's kind of, the Ministry gets a win. I think it's mainly, they were big on Bradshaw and Farouk this night. And then the Knights, they're given a big push, so they're not going to lose to, I mean, even with Midian on the team, who I would think would take the pinfall, but.
Yeah.
It's actually the Ministry gets the win.
Yeah.
And then, in one of your favorite matches, I know, Al Snow and Hardcore Holly meet again for the Hardcore title.
Yeah, another kind of goofy match.
Yes.
It's like prop. It's like the Gallagher of matches.
Yeah. And but it's
probably better than their last one.
It was definitely, I think it was better than the River one. I think
yeah.
The first one is remembered for the River part, but there's a lot of, like, sitting on the banks of the Mississippi. It's not that great of action.
No.
It's just, oh, that's the one where in the river. This one actually goes outside for a little bit, but then they come back in the ring. And there's a superplex through the table to kind of end it.
Yeah, but yeah, they do a good job of summoning it. There's a literal kitchen sink versus a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. El Snow gets crazy stuff. Busted open, which I did not remember at all.
Hugely.
Like, surprised.
Yeah, but no.
And El Snow finally gets the win. It's his first hardcore title reign, even though he's been, like, fighting in that division for, like, 6 months now. Like, basically since it started.
Got it. Are they the only two people in the division?
I mean, other guys would challenge, like, weekly on Raw, but these are the two guys with a feud over it.
Gotcha.
And speaking of belts changing, so who was the IC champion at the end of WrestleMania? Do you remember? There was a four-way match.
I gotta look at my notes. Blah, 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 blah. Just tell me.
So the year started with Ken Shamrock as champ.
This is Road Dogg, right?
Yes, it was Road Dogg. Started with Ken Shamrock as champion, and then he starts a feud with Billy Gunn, which was like an offshoot of Corporation DX. And then, at the same time, Val Venis starts having sex with Ken Shamrock's sister, which also gets you into a feud for a title.
Right.
Val Venis ends up winning the title with Ken Shamrock's sister's help, Ryan Shamrock.
Yep.
And then Val Venis is in a feud with Ken Shamrock over that, and Billy Gunn over that. And then, for some reason, Goldust gets involved.
Yeah.
And then, it's 2 weeks before WrestleMania, Vince Russo decided to switch everything up and put the Road Dogg in a match which should have been Billy Gunn, and Billy Gunn in a match that should have been Road Dogg. That's how we have them holding the other ones, like, titles that they had been going for.
Interesting.
And then the Road Dogg retains at WrestleMania. But then, since you have to do something shocking on the Raw, Goldust wins the title from the Road Dogg on Raw in a horrible match.
Gotcha.
So now Goldust is the champ. Then yes. 2 weeks later,
yeah, I can't follow that.
He takes a match with the Godfather, and the Godfather wins the title.
Gotcha.
So the IC title, which had always been like the mid-card, like The Rock was the champ, like throughout all of '98, basically, and that was, you know, and now it's on the pimp, like the guy who should be in the opening match to get the crowd to pop.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Again, in a
that would
totally
be opening match. You're right.
Totally directionless Goldust. It's like, they don't know what they're doing with him.
No. Now they have God. They have Goldfather. Godfather versus Gold. Sorry, my throat feels funny. So it's a good start. Then it was dragging. Yeah, then the Godfather wins. It's more about the hose.
Yeah, it's like, just about dancing with the hose afterwards.
You're right. That would have been a better first match.
Yeah, I think the Godfather is like a perfect opening match guy where he'll give a nice 4-minute
match.
Get the crowd. He gets his chant going, you know, his sing-along. And then next we have the New Age Outlaws against Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart, who are no longer the tag team champions, as they lost the belts the week after WrestleMania to Kane and X-Pac, who had come together basically just because they were both upset at Triple H. And then somehow Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart got, I think they had like an open challenge.
Gotcha.
And those two came out and won the titles. And they're kind of reluctant partners right now, but...
Gotcha.
So we had the New Age Outlaws and Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart, and this is when, the week before, I think it was, when the Road Dogg referred to Deborah's boobs as puppies, and Jerry Lawler is in heaven, because now he has a phrase he could say, and it's not just saying tits or boobies.
He can say puppies,
he can say puppies, and it's okay to, you know, censor-wise. And this really starts, even nowadays, if they dust him off and prop him up for a match... It can't be a women's match, because he'll still say, like, look at the puppies go and stuff, even though, you know, kind of hasn't been viewed as that for, like, 10 years, but...
Right. I did say that most of this match is mainly about Deborah's boobs versus the actual match, which was fine.
Yeah, it's a fine standard tag match, kind of. Right. I mean, they're all okay-ish enough workers. I mean, Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett are higher up than Road Dogg and Billy Gunn as far as... working an actual match, but that was our fine at doing a standard
10-minute
match.
Everyone likes Road Dogg.
Yeah.
He's a relatively good speaker.
Yep. And then next, we have the Boiler Room Brawl.
Yes.
So this is the second Boiler Room Brawl in WWF history.
Yes, tell me about that.
So the first one was Undertaker versus Mankind.
Okay.
It's kind of Mankind's specialty.
Gotcha.
And the rule is you have to crawl, you have to leave the boiler room. And the first one you had to get all the way to the ring because Paul Bearer was holding the urn.
Okay.
And the Undertaker was about to win. And then this is when Paul Bearer turned on the Undertaker and gave the urn to Mankind. So then this new one come up and it was the Big Show and Mankind. Even though they're both good guys, they still have a beef on the whole, you know, chokeslam me through two chairs.
Oh, yeah.
So they're deciding they're going to have a boiler room brawl. And this time it's just whoever can leave the boiler room first.
Right, yeah, the ref is posted outside the boiler room.
And for this one, it's kind of interesting because you were talking about how brutal
it was.
There's a lot of glass.
There's a lot of glass. It's a lot of cuts. There's a steam valve that goes off. It's just, everything's like proper.
I tried to look it up because in his second book, I remember he talks about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But his second book is the one that is like not available online.
Of course.
Anywhere. I have it somewhere in the house, but I didn't have enough time to look for it. Essentially, though, he was talking to their prop guy about like what to do, and they decided to like totally prop it up. Like, it's all sugar glass.
Okay.
It's fake blood even on his hand.
Okay.
And the shirt, because his hand is super bloody at one point, but even that was, I think, just cut up makeup or costuming.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
So that it wasn't. They kind of, they kind of were like, and especially with a match like that, why would you kill yourselves for a match that the crowd will watch and they'll like, but they're not reacting to it. Yeah, you're not hearing them react to it. So I think that's a thing that kind of made him feel like he's not robbing the crowd out of it because they're going to like it anyways and he's not going to be able to react to what they're doing. So
right.
I think that was his rationale and I think he's earned the right to take a little night off. Not a night off. I mean, it's still hitting each other, but it's a lot of breakaway plunder.
Right, yeah.
I mean, kind of eventually wins by, of course, one of the most deadly weapons in WWF is always the giant pile of clingy steel poles that he pulls down because you're buried under those. I mean, you might die. They each weigh like 8 ounces of maybe.
Exactly. But yes, as I said, blood or red paint. Mick Foley wins, but then the boss man.
The boss man and Test. Yeah, the corporation is still taking their bumps on Mankind and the Big Show.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that was. I don't know, this whole thing's kind of not great.
I like this one, and it's 7 minutes, so it's moving at least, even for two guys that might not move the quickest at this point. They're still, always action.
I also asked why the guy teaching, tending to Big Show stitches, wasn't wearing gloves, so you said you have to ask for the doctor.
Yeah, so Dr. Francois.
Okay.
He was a masseuse.
Oh, no.
And, just became, a lot of the guys used him for massages and stuff, and he was a good massager. He was, just a massage therapist. I don't think he was even licensed to be that. His big claim to fame was being the stunt double for, I think, Scorpion in the Mortal Kombat movie.
Okay.
Maybe Sub-Zero, I'm not sure,
Right.
They're interchangeable. So that was, his big acting. They claimed he was an actor also.
Okay.
And so then he comes to the WWF as their massage therapist and then kind of just morphs into their doctor.
Okay.
Doing stitches and other things also.
Was he only doing stitches, though?
I mean, to the Big Show he was in that clip. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how licensed he was to be doing that.
Probably not. I mean, like I said, he wasn't wearing gloves.
No.
It's kind of like...
No, well, it's fine.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Show's blood's clean.
Well, you think that WWE could afford a real medical team?
Now they do, at least.
That's true, yeah. Back then, I guess, different.
Yeah. It was very different then.
Gotcha.
So that, and also a fun story about him is Chris Jericho tells in his book about how his, at the time, girlfriend, I think still wife today, was at a show and her back was hurting, so she asked Francois for a massage, and she ended up paralyzed for 2 hours.
Oh, gosh.
And then it was kind of like the Elaine thing, I guess, where it felt good at first, and then she laid down and couldn't get up.
Oh, no.
But eventually she was able to get up and march on January 6th, so good for her.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, back on the floor, lady.
So, next we have the big start of the giant heel Triple H push that will go for about 20 years, so strap it in.
All right.
We're getting ready to go full blast, but this is the start of it, and it's versus X-Pac, which makes sense, you know.
Right.
Ex-friend, you know, he turned on him, and it's just boring.
Yeah.
It's really boring.
I mean, X-Pac hits his good little jump spin moves, but it's just...
Yeah, it's just way too much. Yeah, hold after hold.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get what they're doing with Triple H attacking the neck, you know, showing how he's vicious, but they could have done that with one headlock, not like five or six of them, and definitely just could have been a lot quicker paced. And this was, like, this is Triple H's first match as a heel in almost a year, so it's a different style you work, you know, you're the aggressor usually more so.
Right.
So it's, but like, I don't know if he just didn't have enough offense at this point or what, because there's like no action. It's just, or clubbing blows to the neck, then a headlock, then then a side headlock where he changes his position slightly.
Right, yeah, people are really...
And yeah, I mean,
that. Gosh, then, this is boring.
Yeah, Kane comes out, but then China gets a low blow, and Triple H hits the pedigree for the win. And I mean, he had to win pretty strong, because I like X-Pac, but if you're going to be the top heel, you should be able to beat X-Pac clean. And that's kind of, that's why, like, Kane's interference kind of makes it okay for China to interfere. It's kind of a level field. Yeah. And then, to continue with our
the boring
lukewarm
matches. Oh my gosh.
Top heel matches.
Gosh, this is a rough slog.
Yeah, Undertaker versus Ken Shamrock. And this so Triple H X-Pac is 1919, and Undertaker Ken Shamrock is 1850.
Really? They're that long?
Yeah, they're both that long. They both get more time than the main event.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know who was laying that out, but...
Yeah, someone just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, so there's a lot of... And, like, Ken Shamrock is just not a great face at this point. Like,
no.
The fans really don't care about him. So he's trying to work over the Undertaker's leg, and then the Undertaker tries to use his leg. And
yeah, it was also boring.
This was like...
A lot of holds.
I think this was right when the Undertaker had first watched UFC.
Oh.
And wanted to, like, become a submission specialist, but it's not good. It's just boring and long. Like, again,
did they have any setup for this or no?
Yeah, well, this was... He was pissed that... Undertaker was pissed at Ken Shamrock for saving Stephanie.
That's
and then
great.
The next week, he sacrificed Ryan Shamrock.
Oh.
Because she was just hanging around. And then he kind of been attacking him since off and on. And also, on the April 12th Raw, Shane kind of succeeded from Vince and slapped him. Said he was only caring about Stephanie and not the corporation. So Vince walked out. The Stooges were fired.
Oh, no.
And then Ken Shamrock walked out with Vince. Said he didn't like the corporation anymore.
Gotcha.
So that, and so he's like alone here. He doesn't have any type of backup. And that's why at the end the Acolytes come out. Or Bradshaw just alone comes out and
says beating up Ken Shamrock.
Beats him up, but then they have him like choke him out with the bit, but he's just pressing it to the side of his face. I don't know.
Well, you know.
What that is supposed to do.
Smushes your face.
Yeah, I guess so. But then we finally pick things up again.
Yeah, oh, yeah, big turn.
Yeah, so Steve Austin defeats The Rock in 18 minutes. So, I mean, it's around the other two matches, but I would have definitely shaved two off of it, at least 2 minutes off of each of those, and maybe given this could have even had more time, I think.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I mean, but it's just a great brawl all around the arena.
Mm-hmm.
They have the debut of the People's Camera, where The Rock gets the camera in as he pans to the crowd, then he pans and sees the double bird and gets stunner.
That was
we get
really
the
funny.
the camera angle of getting stunned.
Yes, that was really funny. Yeah, they knock over the equipment.
Yeah.
I like whenever The Rock gets on, like, the mic and, like, starts riffing. It's always pretty good.
Especially then when he gets cut off by
either
a punch or sometimes choked out.
Right.
Yeah, so it's really good. And then the storyline kicks in when first Shane tries to hit Austin with the belt, he ducks and The Rock gets hit.
Yep.
Then Austin
hits... first that Shane tosses up a chair.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Shane keeps messing up, basically.
Right.
And then Austin hits the stunner and covers, and Shane gives him the double bird. And earlier in the night, he had sworn on his grandfather's grave he would call the match evenly.
Right.
So that's what draws out Vince McMahon here.
Who, like, falls over when he tries to...
Yeah, who ducks a Shane punch and comes back with his own and falls over. He has so much athletic grace to himself. And then he makes Earl Hebner the referee of the match, and Austin then, of course, hits the stunner.
Right.
I think it's stunner, belt shot, stunner.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because you still get the Rock crazy oversell of the stunner where he flips over. And Austin wins the match, and then a very reluctant Vince McMahon even slides the belt into him.
Oh, well, you didn't talk about what's been going on in the back.
Well, then.
Okay.
In the back, all of a sudden...
Well, what's been going on, Vince and Stephanie were going to leave in the limo.
Right, they were in the limo, but Vince had to watch the end of the title match.
Mm-hmm.
So then, as Vince is watching Steve Austin celebrate, we cut to the back, and the Acolytes and Midian are attacking security. So the limo takes off, and Stephanie, driver, we gotta wait for my dad.
Yeah.
And then the window opens, and of course, where to, Stephanie?
Ha!
Yes, that was...
What was your reaction when you saw that?
Oh, it was great. It was laughing. It was just so ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah,
and, you know. But then they go, and that probably should have been the credits and the end of the show. But then we get to 3 more minutes of Steve Austin celebrating with beer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe you could have just...
Yeah,
I mean, you could still do that in the arena, obviously.
Right.
Let the crowd go home happy, but I think it might have been a little bit better for dramatic purposes if you just cut it there.
Right.
But they didn't. They let Steve Austin have his triumph still. And then the next night on Raw, some big things happen.
Yeah.
Where first The Rock comes out and kind of... So, he calls Steve Austin the better man that night, but also still calls him Trailer Park Trash.
Right.
So he's not, like, totally friends with him, but
he'll at least respect
him. And then he calls out Shane McMahon, and Shane McMahon comes out, and Rock basically says that it was supposed to be one-on-one, and you got involved, and you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shane McMahon talks about how The Rock was too caught up trying to play to the people. He thinks he only cares about is the people. And, you know, he's the people's chump, I think, is
the big
comeback at the end.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
Yeah. So then The Rock gets in Shane's face, and then Triple H first tries to attack The Rock, and The Rock fights him off, and then China gets involved, and The Rock... They make sure to point out, like, oh, China hit him first. Anything he wants to do is justified. So they're not just having him attack the woman.
Yeah.
It's justified.
Yep, she hit him first.
She hit him first, so he has the right to hit her back. And he does. And then the whole corporation, though, attacks
and
beats him down. And then they announce that it'll be Rock versus Shane McMahon later tonight. And from there... Oh, and throughout the night, they keep talking about how Vince McMahon has the papers to sign.
Oh.
To sign over the company to The Undertaker.
No. Yeah.
And then The Undertaker calls Vince and says that he wants Steve Austin to deliver the papers to him. And so Vince has to ask Austin, and Austin says, no, I'm not doing that because I don't trust you.
Right.
And then, so then The Undertaker says, okay, you could hand him over, but it's got to be like at the loading docks of the arena or something.
Obviously.
So Vince is... out here by himself with... He couldn't have, you know, any backup or anything.
Right.
So, as he's standing there like a putz... Well, first we have The Rock versus Shane McMahon, and it goes... It's The Rock just beating him up for 2 minutes.
Nice, good.
And then Triple H comes out and attacks, and it's really setting up... You know, reuniting that feud that had been big the summer before, and now it's back in a different... different form. As we've switched roles, which will be interesting to see.
Yes.
Triple H's heel run is... He also has a bad match with Billy Gunn this night. Because he's just not... And it's like... Raw matches did not go long this day. And it's got like 9 minutes.
Oof.
And it's just a shortened version of the X-Pac match. Which is not good.
No, Triple H. Come on, dude.
Yeah, he's got to... I think the character work is going well, but he's got to work on his heel in ring technique.
Right, for sure.
And then we get the big... Stephanie McMahon is let out on her cross. Or a symbol. You can't call it a cross. It's always a symbol.
Well, yeah, well, it's not a cross. It's, like, different than a cross.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. So then we get... So Stephanie McMahon comes out with The Undertaker, and Paul Bearer reveals with his nice bedazzled ancient dead book, Book of the Dead, that it's going to be a black wedding between Stephanie and The Undertaker. And first, Ken Shamrock tries to come out, and he doesn't even get an offensive move. He is grabbed right away by the Acolytes, and Viscera splashes him to take him out, even though he brought his baseball bat. He didn't get to do much with it. Next is the Big Show, and he clears all the other people out, but then the Undertaker grabs that baseball bat and smacks him over the head with it.
Right.
So then we have... So then it looks like the wedding is official. Happened. You could kiss the bride, and then the glass breaks.
Yeah.
Steve Austin comes out and just obliterates Midian down the ramp with a clothesline.
Yeah, it just kind of takes
everyone out. Takes everyone out. Just gets a chair and just goes to town... CTE.
Goes out of his way.
Be damned. Yeah, Viscera's standing on the outside, and Steve Austin still goes outside. Like, hits him with a chair to make sure no one gets out alive.
Yep, taking them all down with us.
Yep, and then the Undertaker kind of backs off and to fight another day and make his Undertaker eyes at Steve Austin on the ramp. And Steve Austin even releases Stephanie from her bondage. Yes. And she gives him a hug, and Steve Austin, he wants nothing to do with it. He just didn't do it for the glory, just did it because it was the right thing to do, damn it, as Vince McMahon, or as Jim Ross keeps saying. He didn't do it for Vince McMahon. He did it because it was the right thing to do. Right. Yes, very. And they also note during this that Shane McMahon holds back the corporation from coming out.
Oh, we'll see if
that has anything to, that will grow.
Yeah, we'll see.
And so, yeah, Steve Austin helps Stephanie, and Vince McMahon comes out and thanks Steve Austin for his help.
Right.
So what did you think of Backlash?
Not that great.
No, I think the Raw was more exciting, I think, the night after.
Right. Yeah.
Which, at this time frame, tended to happen because there was such an emphasis on the Monday night shows.
Gotcha.
This is when they really start pulling away from WCW.
Oh yeah,
WWE was so hot, and this is when WCW started to slip. Really also, like, so ratings. So for WrestleMania, you went 7.5. I went 8.
Oh, this is gonna be like a 6.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Well, main event is really good though.
Yeah, I'm still gonna say 6.5. Not that much else.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, over the... I'm kind of thinking of it as Over the Edge 98, where the undercard is kind of monk, but then you get the great Steve Austin Dude Love. So, you said 6.5?
Yeah.
Right. 6.5. I'm going to go 7, because I had Over the Edge at 7.5, and I think that's a better match, but not far off.
Not a better show. Okay.
But, yeah, Backlash does have 2 bad matches, though.
Yeah.
But King Vader's pretty bad. Alright, so then top two matches.
Obviously the main event.
Yes, I definitely agree there.
It's the boiler match?
Yeah, I was going to go with that actually. As goofy as it kind of is. There's not much else. I mean, the tag match is technically fine, but it doesn't really stand out, I think, in any way.
Right.
And, yeah, everything else is subpar, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, boiler and brawl. So, yeah, as you can see, especially with these shows, the top two matches, there's usually only about 2 matches that are even
close.
So, not a lot of variance there. That's kind of been the way it is for a while lately.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, earlier, at least, we'd sometimes get, you know, different undercard matches that one of us would like.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah. So, the next month is kind of a toughy one.
Oh, yeah?
Because the pay-per-view is Over the Edge 1999.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you know what happens to that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Owen Hart dies, and it is on the network, or the cock, as it were. But it's they edit all those references out, so it's like a 2-hour show.
Okay.
Which is weird, and it's not good at all. So we're just going to skip that. But 2 days after the, or 3 days after this Raw, there was the pilot episode of SmackDown.
Okay.
So I think we'll see that.
Okay.
And then just some select matches from Raw's.
All right, there we go.
Like through a, May and into early like a June.
May compilation.
Yeah, just because the pay-per-view, like,
it's
not good. Yeah, yeah, the matches are very rudimentary because their coworker just died.
Right, yeah, well, I'm surprised they had a show still.
Yeah, that's was always a big point of contention.
Okay.
All right, but yeah, so we'll get, we'll skip around that. We'll work around that and see some fun, including what is one, I think, still stands as the highest rated episode of Raw.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. When this is like the full on death to WCW. Like,
gotcha.
They're tripling them in the ratings and stuff.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep.
Not looking forward to it.
Yep. May 1999. Here we come.
Yeah.
Until going. Next time. Bye. Bye.
The WWF Champion. Can I get a hell yeah? The so-called People's Champion. Return engagement. The special guest referee.
He's going to be partial to The Rock.
Austin, The Rock, the championship. WWF Backlash live tonight only on pay-per-view.